Welcome to the Seeds Uniting Church podcast. For more information and other resources, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org. Now enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday morning service.
So 1 Peter chapter 4, starting from verse 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very word of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, the peace of the Lord be with you. Our gracious and loving God has blessed each and every one of us with a spiritual gift. Everyone who loves Jesus, who has accepted him as their Lord and Savior, has at least one gift. Many have more. Quite a few have lots. If you love Jesus, if he's your Savior, then you have a spiritual gift that has come to you directly from your Father in heaven. Isn't that wonderful news? Isn't that just satisfying news? You know, last week I was preparing, and then as I was preaching, I had a very strong sense that there are many people in this church who belong to this church, who will be surprised when they discover fully the extent of the gifts that God has for them. And I encourage you to continue to discover what God has for you. So here we are, part 5 of 5. Next week we have a one-off sermon by our very own Lynn Ed, who will be preaching. And then the weeks after that, we're starting a new series which we are calling Risk. It's a series about following Jesus in everyday life. I'm hoping by now that we can all remember the threefold purposes of the spiritual gifts. There's no chocolate up for grabs this morning. God is glorified, others are edified, and ourselves are satisfied. Do you remember that? I hope you do by now. So today, bringing together the culmination of our whole series in talking about how to find our gifts, it might actually be better if I was to call this sermon Road Testing Your Gifts, or Using Your Gifts. And I've set this apart in this series because it's one thing to talk about the gifts and the nature, the purpose of our gifts, one thing to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in our world, but it's something altogether to nail down exactly what gifts you've got and then to begin to serve in those. So for many Christians, it actually takes quite a while to find your gift mix. So don't despair if you are still struggling to find what gifts you have. Keep at it. Keep praying. Ask God to show you. Be humble. And in doing so, God actually opens up and he shows us extraordinary, wonderfully. He's got a habit of answering our prayers. So I want to lead you this morning into a process of how to check and see what gifts you have and how they can be brought into fuller maturity. One of the things that I want to stress in all this is that the underpinning value for all our gifts is, of course, love. If our gift is not loving, then what are we doing? If our motivation is not love, how can we be embodying the character of God, the ambience of God, representing the Spirit of God? How can we fulfill the threefold purposes of these gifts if it is not done in love? And the Bible reading that we had today that Bailey read to us, I chose that deliberately to stress this point. It says, love each other deeply. Not just love each other, but love each other deeply. Take it to the next level. Pull it down. Go further in it. The gifts should be always done with this in mind. How do we do that? It's as simple as this. Every time you see another individual, all you need to do is remember that Jesus died for them. That's extraordinary truth. Remember that that same Savior who loves you, who has redeemed you, who restores you, who calls your name, has done the same for every other person. Whether they accept it or not, they are still loved by our Creator God. So there are a couple of givens around spiritual gifts that we should just bring out so to make sure that everybody's on the same page, and they'll be up on the screen behind us. The first is this, and quite obviously that you have to be a believer in Jesus. Rocket science, I know. These are the gifts of the Spirit, not just any Spirit, but the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit that is part of the triune Godhead. When we say believe in the Spirit, it's more than just a cognitive assent of some knowledge-based notion. It's a full embracing of the way of Jesus in all that we are and all that we do. It changes how we think and how we act. Secondly, you have to be convinced that you have a spiritual gift. Again, another startlingly obvious one. But how can you work into your gift if you don't think you have one? That you are excluded from the gift mix. The gifts are for every single believer, including you, even if you don't think you have one. There's a sense in which you have to claim your own gifts. You have to accept that God blesses everyone, even you. The third thing, there is a way in which there's a sense in which you have to work. Some gifts just land on you and you know you got them and you can use them straight away. Others require maturity. They require you to grow into them, to develop them. I've stressed the word maturity over and over again in this series so that we are clear what is required for a full expression, fully developed gift. Maturity takes time, doesn't it? It takes struggle. It takes effort. And I reckon the things that come easy in life have little value. We should expect some difficulties, some hardship, to be hard in a way forward, that to find a way forward that is easy is actually meaningless. And so I actually think we're growing red gums, not wattles. Lastly, you have to be prayerful. You have to know the Father's heart. You have to know Him in order to be in connection with Him. Prayer is the relational connection we have with God, and the fourth week of our Risk series, we'll talk a lot about that. It's our lifeline, it's our breathing tube. Ignore it at your peril. Prayer connects us with what God is up to in the world. It centers our focus, it brings us into the presence of God, it helps us understand His ambience. So there are just four givens with what we're doing when we're working on our spiritual gifts. And what I want to do now is to push into some of the practical ways in which we can develop and further discern what gifts God has given to us. So here they are, let me go. I'm not going to be long this morning. The first of the four is this. Open out the possibilities. Again, obvious, but sometimes we do forget the obvious, don't we? There's much more information and teaching on the spiritual gifts than what I've covered over the last few weeks. And I've covered a fair bit. I mean, if you've listened to me every sermon I've preached, it's been about 2.5 hours of monologue. So there's a lot of information there. But I encourage you, first and foremost, to go to the source. Open your Bibles and study the gifts for yourself. Look up the Bible references. Search for them. If you don't know where they're all found, Google is your friend and find them and then meditate on them. Discover for you what these gifts are and how that they've been used. Then discover how other traditions look at these gifts and how they use them. Find other traditions that are way outside of your experience and say, is there value in that? Is there something that I can learn from that? And so when you study your Bible, don't just restrict your learnings to the teaching sections on the gifts, but also look at the narratives. Have a look at the book of Acts and see how they're used. See how God's people used the gifts. See what they did and what they focused on, and see what they didn't do. Learn from the example of others and how God interacted with others. If we know God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then how He's acted then gives us a hint on how He's going to act at this moment. So what I'm saying is, Get all the information you can on the gifts and then apply it to your life. And doing this also means reading as much as you can. I'm always biased towards reading. I'm a reader. I love to read. But I tell you what, even if you only read a synopsis or a few paragraphs, there's a lot of information out there. The last couple of decades have seen a huge explosion in books on this topic. Find some. Share some around. Ask questions of them. So grab a couple of books, find out what others have reflected on them, and see what they've come up with. But I want you to also do one other thing. I want you to raise, if you will, the topic of spiritual gifts with those around you. So rather than going, oh, you know, how was the sports score this weekend? How's the weather? You know, how's the children or whatever? How's the spiritual gifts going for you? What do you think about what Jonathan's been saying? How did you resonate with the booklet that's been out? I read this book and they said this. Or I listened to this podcast and they said that. Talk about it. Gather together and let iron sharpen iron. You know, if we take the time to listen, we take the time to engage with others, there are a lot of things that you can learn. There are a lot of things that you can get that you can be enhanced with if we just do that. So that's the first. The second is this. Try out as many as possible. Obviously, there's some gifts that shouldn't be tried too quickly. Again, the gift of martyrdom, I'll just push that aside. Don't try that out or wait for another senior pastor to try that. But most of the gifts can be tried. A simple rule of thumb, when you think that maybe you have a gift in a particular area, is to find a need in that area and then see if you can meet it. So find a need and then meet it. Look for a job that no one is doing in that particular area and then fulfill it. Be attentive to the issues that are around you and see if you fit in meeting the issue that is at present. So if you find something that needs doing, then do it. For instance, let me just fly the flag for the welcome teams again. Lots of space to serve on the welcome teams. If you find, for instance, that you're in conversation with somebody who has a sore knee, who has an injury on their shoulder, who has an issue going on with their child or something like that, a medical issue, with their permission, why don't you offer to pray for them? Who knows? Test out if you've got the gift of healing. Of course, this action is particularly useful for doing gifts. When we serve, it comes quickly obvious that we have or don't have these particular gifts. And the doing gifts are the best ones to start with. If you've got no idea whatsoever, start with the doing gifts. So I encourage you this. Get involved. See where they lead. The knowledge gifts also can be tried out too. Things like wisdom and discernment, things like a word of knowledge can be used in conjunction with other members of God's body. In a context with someone or some people you trust, and that you can submit what you believe God is saying to you for their discernment. The speaking gifts are similar as well. So they are apostle, evangelist, encouragement, tongues, interpretation of tongues, teaching, prophecy, and pastor. And probably with the exception of apostle, all these gifts can be tried out. You know, I'm no expert in the gifts of tongues, let me tell you. But my suggestion to you, if you think you have this gift, then in a quiet place, in the privacy of your own home or in the car, driving to work or wherever, try and speak it and see where it leads. If you think you want to, if you think you have the gift of teaching, then there's lots of opportunities for you to pursue that. I mean, there are quite a few people at this very moment who are using that gift next door, teaching our children. I'm sure if you're part of a small group, and if you're not, then you should be part of a small group, then offer to take a study and see how that goes. What I'm saying is there are lots of ways to see and to test, to try out, to find your fit where God has made you. Here's the third thing. Here's a thing that we really struggle with. It is check with the body. Check in with the body. And I've emphasized this a lot over the last few weeks. The role of the body in spiritual gifts is never to be underestimated. And God, with in his great wisdom, has placed us in this interrelated connectivity with others whom we wouldn't normally relate to. Am I right? It's called the church. We wouldn't normally hang out with a whole pile of people like this. Much of the reason for that is for our own growth. And often, if we find ourselves uncomfortable, it is a good place to be because it is a growth zone. It's a bit like marriage. God has given many of us a partner to love, to cherish, to enjoy, a companion who spends their life with us. And aren't we blessed, those of us who are married? But at the same time, God has given us a partner to call us towards maturity, to not let us get away with selfish or immature or childlike behavior. Isn't that right, guys? Our spouse, our Christian spouse, is God's inbuilt way to call us towards a higher level, to grow up in faith, to be an adult, to grow more and more into Jesus' image, just like what the church does. The church helps us as individuals to go towards maturity. Not only does it call us towards maturity, but it helps us to discern our gifts as well. And what are not our gifts? It can speak both ways. Discovering our gifts is not a solo task. It shouldn't be. Not much in the Christian life is solo. On the contrary, it's important that we use the body to help us discern the gifts of the Spirit. So a simple way might be to meet in a small group or with those whom you trust, which is almost the same as a small group, to share what you believe God has for you, what God has put on your heart, what gifts that God has in the context of where you are at this particular moment, and then allow this group's discernment to speak back into your life. Sometimes this means a sustained period of silence. Not that we really like silence, but there's a waiting on what God wants to say to us. Sometimes this is where the wisdom of the group you meet with comes to the fore as they too wait to hear on Jesus. You know, there is lots to be gained by this connection with the body. And it requires the participants in that group to be prayerful, to be discerning, but to speak the truth. And so sometimes we think we have a gift when actually it's very clear to those around us that we don't have the gift. It's hard to say those things, but it's worse not to say those things. You know, the body, this body of believers, which God has graciously allowed to be part of, is your greatest friend. If you can develop lasting, deep friendships with others who love Jesus, who want to honor Jesus, who want to know more about him, who want to serve him, then you are in great company. And you are really quite incredibly blessed. You can trust that God would speak through his people and lead you towards maturity. You know, the body, the church, it's not always perfect. Newsflash, if you didn't know that one. It's often a bit rough around the edges. But it's what God has designed for us. It is what Jesus left us with. It is what the Spirit now empowers. It's extraordinary. Let's use it. Let's contribute towards it. Let's be the best body that we can be. Fourth thing, here it is, the last one I'm going to say, and that is examine your effectiveness. Lastly, this is where we really have to check ourselves. This is reality time. This is where we need to be honest with ourselves and have honest conversations with ourselves. And I'll speak more about this in a couple of weeks' time. But you have to ask yourself the hard questions. Am I fooling myself into thinking I have a gift where I really don't have a gift? Am I being effective in these three pivotal areas that we've been talking about for the last 5 weeks? Do I glorify God with what I do when I'm serving in these gift areas? Do I edify the church, the others? Are they built up because of what I've been doing? And am I really satisfied? Or is it just that I am really satisfied and the others don't really matter? It's an honest conversation with yourself. Can I see results in these three things? Am I getting some feedback that is telling me that I am doing this and doing this well? By looking, by seeking out your effectiveness, you get a sense of where you are meant to be working and what your gifts are. For instance, if you think you're an evangelist and you've been trying to evangelize the people that you've been sitting next to on the bus, and halfway through the year you find yourself sitting alone more often than not, then maybe you don't have the gift of evangelism. If you're trying to speak out a word of knowledge and no one is resonating with it, maybe you need to reconsider. If no one says that is true, if others are saying, I think you're on the wrong path, then you need to think further through it. If you're trying to teach and you see that others are leaning in, that others are growing, that others are saying, you're onto something here, and others are inviting you to continue to do that, well then maybe you are onto something. You know, this last 5 weeks, we've been studying this part of the Christian life, and I realize now at this point that we've only just touched the shallow end of this very deep pool. We've only gone a little way into the incredible depth of where we could go. And there's so much yet that we could cover as we think further about the spiritual gifts. This is not the end. This is an unfolding journey, a lifetime of working and discovering and helping the body discover where we are as a church, how we use these gifts, how we serve the church, but most importantly, how we bless the world in which we are part of, how we continue the ministry that Jesus started. You know, let me finish with this. The worst thing to do would be for us to not explore our gifts, for us to push them off to the side, to not serve, to not engage in the world, to not get going with what we think Jesus has for us through His Spirit, to not bring them into full maturity, to keep them selfish, to hide them, hide our gifts, to stuff them under our jumper so that no one can see them, so that we would be not who we are meant to be, that we would be something other than who we should truly be. Which footy team runs on the ground incognito? Which footy team do you know that goes and plays and you don't know who the coach is, you don't know who the runner is, you don't know who the umpire is, you don't know who the water person is, you don't know who the forward is? Which footy team? Show your colours. I knew that was coming. If you talk to me afterwards about football, I'll be really disappointed. If you talk to me afterwards about what spiritual gifts you think God has for you, I'll be really excited. Show your colours. Be who God has made you to be. Be part of Team Jesus and serve well. Let me say a prayer. Father, we thank you that you invite us to be part of your team. You're so gracious to us. You give us so much more. You give us these gifts in which we can find meaning and purpose and satisfaction. We thank you, Lord. Help us not to hide them away. Don't let us keep them under our clothes and shut down. But Lord, let us show who we are in your sight. Let us be your children and serve using your Spirit in your name. In your name we do pray. Amen.